Brook Forest Voices presents Stalking the Caravan, a drug agent in Afghanistan, 1971 through 1973, by Terrence M. Burke. Read by Michael Pearl.
Dedicated to Ambassador Robert E. Newman. America is blessed to have had Robert E. Newman become a U.S. citizen after surviving Nazi concentration camps at Buchenwald and Dachau during World War II. Newman went on to become an outstanding scholar and professor. This remarkable man served as U.S. ambassador to Afghanistan, Morocco, and Saudi Arabia. I was proud to have worked on his staff in Kabul, Afghanistan, and honored to have been a beneficiary of his guidance and support. Chapter 1, July 16, 1973, 10 p.m., Kabul, Afghanistan. I was sitting on my veranda overlooking our small walled garden. There was enough of a moon to make out the flowering bushes. Earlier, I had fed our 11-year-old son, Sean, and then sent him off to bed. His mom, Irene, brother Michael, and sisters Sheila and Michelle had left Kabul several days before. Sean and I were to follow them in 2 days. I sipped on my scotch and mulled over the events of the past 2 years of my tour as a United States federal narcotics agent in Kabul, Afghanistan. During the first year of my tour, in addition to Afghanistan, I had actually also covered India and Pakistan. Now I was having second thoughts regarding the decision I had made to not accept a second tour in Kabul. The doubt was definitely not because Kabul was the garden spot of the world. It wasn't. Nor was the doubt because Kabul was an easy place to work or live. It wasn't. In Kabul, our 4 children had not had the amenities that most young Americans grew up with. However, they had gone to an international school alongside kids of many cultures, and probably for the best. They had lived where there was no television or understandable radio play. They relied on books and each other for their recreation, but they had a father who prowled the streets of Kabul at night and disappeared for weeks at a time. Their mother typically shrugged with each of my absences and kept everything going at home. I had worked undercover in India and Afghanistan with no backup. I had negotiated drug deals in rooms filled with heavily armed men who were ready to kill me at the slightest provocation. I had faced off against an assassin who was sent by smugglers to kill me. When stymied on how to get cooperation from the Soviets, I had driven to the front gate of their embassy in Kabul and then flown to Moscow to meet with USSR customs policymakers. I was now working with a beautiful KGB agent to prevent illegal drug smuggling from Afghanistan through the USSR into Europe and the United States. My time here had not been easy, but it had been thoroughly exhilarating and professionally rewarding. Should I have accepted another tour of duty? This was my dilemma. I poured another scotch and watched the moon rise. I went to bed without having answered my question. July 17, 1973, 5 a.m., Kabul, Afghanistan. I awoke to the screams of Afghan Air Force MiG jets overhead. I ran to the window and watched rockets drop from their wings. Damn, I thought to myself sarcastically, who let the Afghan Air Force have ammunition? The MiGs banked and flew back toward our house. That's when their automatic machine guns opened up at an imaginary or real target. In Afghanistan, you could never be sure. I had heard muffled explosions after midnight, but had not paid attention to them. In the morning, my younger son, Sean, and I drove out of our gate. We were heading to the U.S. Embassy, but paused as I watched my neighbor, an Afghan Air Force general, being pulled from the door of his house and then shot twice in the back of the head. Later in the day, I scouted a possible embassy evacuation route at the request of U.S. Ambassador Robert G. Newman, but was stopped by a roadblock of tanks pointing their barrels at my vehicle. While trying to get back to our home that night,
sample complete. Ready to continue?